let everybody know. Dan's getting some more preachers up here, too. We rotate. We're blessed to fill in the spots when we can't get speakers. We like to mix it up and stuff like that, just so you know. It's not easy. You know, people won't call you back. You know, it's just hard to keep things rolling, but we're blessed to get through everything. You know, when we think of this world now, and like Brian was just talking about, like the rapture, people don't believe in that, but the Bible tells you the truth, and there's no way around it, basically. And, you know, and we're all pre-tribbers here, I can hopefully say that, but I've met some believers that think, oh no, we're going to go through 3.5 years, and then we're going to be taken out of here. Some people think we're going to go through 7 years. No, no, God's not that. You know, He says we're not appointed to it. You know, and you know that's why being here every Sunday and glorifying Jesus. You know, He is the main thing that goes on in churches and in our faith and in our belief, and we show that, express that for eternity. Today's message is on the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, being a light and being salt for Christ daily, being a disciple, but being the salt. The key word is salt. And, you know, studying this is just like, you know, that's what He wants us to do as His disciples. Be different. Stand out. Mike, that's a great example. You're standing out. You're being the salt right now is what you're doing. That's a good thing. You know what you do is when you put salt on something, it brings it out. You know that salt is a preservative to meats to keep it lasting longer before you eat it, but then it dies off. But it's a preservative, okay? And that's what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. Even when you could use the salt to your advantage to encourage somebody else, it's like when I hold conversations with people and I know they're not believers, you know, I'll try to, you know, wheel it around there. Yeah, my church goes down to the mission once a month. And, you know, if you got anything that you want to donate, you know, we'd be happy to, you know, to go about it. You know, we'd be happy to take it down and stuff. And, you know, most times they say, oh, that's cool, you know. Yeah, it said when, you know, somebody that does not have faith does not have any, they don't inquire, they don't ask questions, they don't talk about it. But anytime you can wheel it around to that's, you know, you're showing your light that Christ is in you. When you're born again, you have His Holy Spirit in you. That's what separates everything. You know, in First John, I like what it says. John said, in the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what's John telling us about these three things about Jesus? Okay, number one, He's eternal. He never had a beginning, and He never had an end. You know, it's the mystery of eternity. I can't explain that. Nobody can explain that. But by faith, we believe that. He is eternal. Second, Jesus was with God. Okay? Being distinct from God, yet He was with God. It's another mystery that it's hard to kind of comprehend. That's the mystery of the faith. Third thing is He was God and is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is God. And only God can be God, basically. Nothing else can. You know, and then on top of that, God came to earth. We're looking at why God came to earth and dwelt amongst us. Can you imagine being back in that time period? I mean, being born at, you know, 2,000 years ago in the time of Christ? I mean, it's just, you can't even get your mind around some of this stuff. I mean, it's just like, just to see what He did, the miracles, and just coming, and He's God in the flesh. It's just, and a lot did not believe that. Jesus came to serve down here, not to be served. He came for a reason. and dwelt amongst us. Jesus came to serve but not be served, but he also came to give his life for us. You know, because of sin that entered the world. You know, it all goes back to that word sin. You know, you look at the wickedness and the evilness that we talk about. It all goes back to those three letters, S-I-N. You know, and I try to evaluate. I try to figure it out. I'm a big crime show guy. I like the crime shows, and I learn a lot. And I don't know, it's such a sickness, but I don't know if anybody's following the Idaho murders, what happened to them poor college kids out there in Idaho. Makes you sick to your stomach how somebody so evil can do that. And thank God that the police captured it. I mean, it just you don't know why another person will kill another guy. They just had the news 3 weeks ago. This lady was coming out of a store, and some guy came up and shot her and took her car, and she's dead. She had a husband, two kids, and it's like, why are we so evil? Why are we so wicked? And there's, you know, and I asked God, I said, Lord, would you help me? Why? And there's one Bible verse that came to mind. Can anybody tell me what that's the only thing that sums it up down here? Does anybody know that Bible verse?
Nope.
Say the whole thing, Dan. Say the whole passage. There you go. Is that something else? The heart is deceitful above all things. You can't even know it. What does it tell us? You can't even know it. And desperately wicked because of sin. He just doesn't say we're wicked. He says it's desperately wicked. You can't even know it. You can't even figure it out. I heard a little commentary about a guy at the zoo, or somebody at the zoo, and he's going through all the inhabitants and stuff like that, and he sees a sign by the corner. He says, you want to see the most vicious, wildest, evilest animal? Enter in here. Okay? He enters in there, and the first thing he's looking at is a mirror. You know, if it wasn't being born again in the Holy Spirit, you know, everybody has that nature. It's sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, Jesus, you know, had to, and God is holy. He's holy, 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 he says. He also suffered, you know, he came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He also suffered, you know, while he was down here, the insults of his enemies, the betrayal of his friends. You know, Jesus had such a heart of love, you know, and he loved, and, you know, and he suffered the agony of the cross on top of all that. But before the cross, you know, in his ministry and all his life, he's made friends, and he had friends turn on him, talk behind his back, and, you know, and everything that he's been through, you know, he could associate with how we feel, how we act. He's been through everything that we've been through down here. Except we haven't went to the cross like he has. That's the only difference. Like you said this morning, it's grace. Something that we deserve, but we're not getting. And Jesus became flesh, and he really was. You know, an animal sacrifice cannot atone the wickedness of sin. You know, everybody can come to the Lord. Okay? They've got a free will. You know, I like what this says in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 says, we don't have a high priest. Who's that? Jesus. Who can't what? Sympathize with our what? Our weaknesses. We're weak down here. But is tested in all points as we are. You know, Jesus tells us we are going to go through tribulation. And we are. going through tribulation. Not the tribulation, but we go through tribulation. Everybody does. Rich, poor, medium, this, that, black, white, Hispanic, everybody goes through it because we're down here. A buddy of mine likes when I say that, we're down here, because we are. We're down here. Our citizenship is up there. And that's how you got to think about that. It's not here, it's there. We're just temporarily going through this life. Because we see people dying all the time. You know, the Elvis's daughter just died last week. She's only 54 years old. Lisa Marie Presley. You know, she was in that, you know, God, you know, she was in the Church of Scientology, just a Wiccan religion or something like that. I think she got out of that, though. You know, Lord willing, she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But she had a lot of sadness, though. Her son committed suicide. But it just, you know, she's another one. She's very wealthy. Elvis's daughter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your status or what's going on. But is tested in all points, still back in Hebrews, as we are, and yet he is without sin. This is incredible, this guy, Jesus. He goes, so he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, or confidently to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help us in our time of what?
Need.
I mean, this is so reassuring. Time of need. We need. Everybody needs, right? Everybody needs. Jesus prioritized his relationship with the Lord. He had a focus. Focus. The Father, during his time on earth, he had focus. You know, his ministry, you know, when he was doing, he was a disciple. He had focus on what his mission was down here. And when growing up, he learned what? The scriptures. And he meditated on the scripture. It's going back to the Bible. It's going back to his word. It's not what we think, what we want, or who this or who's that. It's his word. What does he say? What is important? And that was an important part of his life. You know, it just didn't come in Luke chapter 2. It says he grew up in the scripture. It was an important part of his life. And we're going to read in that. And he says, you see it in Luke chapter 4, when the devil tempted him in the wilderness three times. What did he do? What was his defense? What was his, you know, weapon? You know, as we see, you know, I was thinking about this illustration, you see like movies like the Marvel Comics, you know, like Batman or Spider-Man, they're fighting foes, you know, they got their webs or their you know, bombs or, you know, they've got a weapon against the evil one. It says, you know, and they clash one another, you know, you see what goes on like that, or the, you know, it could be a gun, it could be whatever, to try to combat the enemy. But Jesus' weapon was way more powerful. He used the word of God. Think about that. He was tempted three times, and every time he used the word of God. He didn't know, there's nothing else that he said that could defeat that. When the Bible says, flee, resist the devil and he will flee from you, it's by just quoting, you know, the word of God. When Satan tempted Jesus, he did. How did Jesus run? The word of God, scripture, and it all came from the book of what? Can anybody tell me what book he was quoting out of? A lot of people don't even know where to find the book, probably, but there's a certain book of the Bible that he was quoting out of. Very good, Dan. Yep. Very good. Deuteronomy. Isn't that something? It's kind of like a hidden little book back there, but it's so important. You know, everybody that does read and says, you know, I'm going to go, I don't want to read the New Testament. I want to read, maybe read Proverbs or Psalms. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Old Testament stuff's pretty deep because that's where he drew from. But yeah, the book of Deuteronomy. And his priority, apart from Jesus' life towards God, you know, in his presence also, you know, when he went to pray to the Lord, that's, you know, when he would read scripture, he'd also pray. You notice that Jesus prayed a lot. In Mark 1:35, after a long day from ministry, what did he do after lunch? He said he got up early at dark and he went to go pray at a secluded place. Jesus would often slip away into the wilderness to pray, or to the mountains. You know, that's where it's at. No doubt about it. Praying to the Lord, being alone with the Lord. I think the Bible even goes as far as going to your closet and pray. And worshiping and staying focused, staying in line, worshiping once a week, coming to church is such a spiritually blessing that you'll receive from the Lord. In person with what? Fellow believers. Being in the Word. Accomplishing His work. You know, we're not just here to lollygag around, everybody. You know, I mean, you think about every day that God gives you. I mean, what is our purpose then? You ever ask Him that? What is our purpose? You know, as a young kid, you don't think about that. No, my purpose is to get up and have fun every day. Party. Not think about tomorrow. Have fun. Do this. But as you grow older in the Word, when you're a born-again believer, you know, God has got a will for your life. Not your will, but His will. Okay? Not knowing what God wants is doing what He wants. Or you should be doing what He wants. Success, I like this quote, it says, success is knowing the will of God and doing it. That's what Jesus did. He did the what? The will of His Father down here. Jesus is incredible. The 33 years He spent on, He just did the will of His Father. You know, it's a horrific thing He had to go through, but if you think about it, His mission was to come down here and get massacred for us. Because God is holy. It goes back to sin. You know, it's terrifying to stand in front of God. I'm telling you right now. For unbelievers, it's not even funny. I don't even like thinking about that. Because God is, He goes right to the marrow of the bone, right to your heart. You get judged for every little thing you've done out here. And if you think you're going to get away with your sin, or you're going to die in your sin, and don't think that nobody's going to pay for that sin, you're really misled. You know, Jesus came down here to die on the cross for our sins, that we can be forgiven. Because when God looks at that shed blood, He doesn't look at your sin, He looks at His Son's sin, and it's covered. And that's what Jesus did. Not my will, but Your Lord will. And most people, what do they say nowadays? Hey, no. What I want to do. It's how I want to live. It's how I want to go about my life. I don't need You. I got plenty of money. I got good health. I've got many cars. I've got many houses. I've got many this. I've got many that. I don't need You. And you know what God does? He goes, okay, You don't need Me? Backs away. That's why people that get involved in satanic rituals for fame and fortune down here, and they want to get involved with that for fame and fortune, the luxuries. It's called small change. That's exactly what it's called. It's temporary things down here, but God will call you and call anything the Lord gives you. It is on a loan. He can call that loan back in anytime He'd like to, because we're just borrowing things down here for a short time. And the older you get, the closer you get. So what you want to do is invest your time wisely for the Lord down here. It means, and Jesus, you know, the Holy Spirit is important to have that. Because it guides you, it teaches you. Jesus is an advocate for His children. Praying for us. I mean, can you imagine Jesus praying for us? I mean, have you ever really thought about that? You know, I was telling everybody, I said, you know, when people pray for other people, that is a real blessing. I told Ray and Bev that, you know, last week. I said, what a, You know, like, you know, one of the brothers would say, David or Rule or Dan or Helmut, everybody. It's just like, we pray for, let's say, Helmut's voice or pray for, you know, when you hear that, you think, oh, man, they're thinking about me. You know, my sister, I haven't talked to her in 6-7 years since my mom and dad's funeral. She don't like me. She don't like my sister. She hasn't talked to my brother. But I pray for her every day. I don't want her to go to hell. She's not a believer, right? I think she was saying, they believe in Jesus, died on a cross. Oh, that's silly stuff. A lot of people think that way. Okay? And there's a lot of people you guys know out there that are not believers. They don't believe in that stuff. But I pray for my sister every day. You've got to pray for your enemies, whether you like it or not, every day. That's not easy to do when people, you know, hate you. But they hated Jesus. They hated Jesus. Look at the Pharisees. Look at all everything that he's been through. They hate. What did he say, David, about that? Because of me, they're going to hate you. Because they hated him first, right? That's not easy to do that. Because she don't like me, and I don't like her. Hey, you gotta love people. You don't have to like people, right? Is that the right way to say that? If I didn't love her, I obviously wouldn't be praying for her. You know? Gene, you pray for Todd's kid, Jacob, and Lana, you know, I mean, you know, they give you a hard time, you know. You gotta just pray for them. That's what I do. I shift all that negativity for the Lord Jesus Christ that they have for him. I just shift it over to prayer. That's all you can do. You can't physically do them. You can't physically make them. You can't yell and scream at them. You can't turn them off to the Lord. But you can pray. And what have we learned today? Number one weapon against the devil is prayer and the Word. Because Jesus being our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Advocate means like a lawyer who speaks on our behalf. Because Satan comes after us daily. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of the brethren. He hates us. I heard a good one. Every time Satan tries to get in your head and say you're this and that, and he's reminding you of today, remind him of his future. Go to Revelation, say, well, it says, Satan, you're trying to, you know, downplay what I'm doing for the Lord. Well, I got something to tell you. You're going to be in the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet one day. And he knows that. That's why it says in Revelation, he's got but a short time to do what he's got to do down here. Why do you think this place is a wilderness? Just like the Bible says, it is a wilderness every day. I don't care. You can even be in the safest part of the country and it's still a wilderness. What does Jesus mean to us today? When Jesus left the world, he left us his peace. And it's the peace only he could give. God comforts, forgets our sin because of Jesus. Because people worry. You know, when Jesus paid for our sins, he removed our transgressions. And we don't have to feel this guilt. Okay? And when we do, we have an advocate. We're learning that in the Bible study on Wednesday nights. The first time we have an advocate. We confess our sins. We get back on the horse. We've all had struggles. We've all backslid. I have. Last Wednesday we went to the mission. And sometimes it could get a little crazy down there. Not really, really crazy, but you know, you get people heckling you because you're giving the word of God out. And me and Dan were up there, and Eugene. And there was a guy sitting in the center that it looked, you know, he's kind of It could have been mocking, but you would not know what people's hearts are like. It was really moving what happened, because at first, you know, he was kind of interrupting my message. And I, you know, I said, I'll let it go. I'll let him say what he's doing. Then I'll move on to my message. And Dan kind of caught a hold of that. And I'm thinking, I'll just try to be encouraging. That's all you can do. So what's interesting, it blew me away. At the end of the message, you know, he came up to me. And I'm thinking, okay, is he going to want to debate about something or this, that? But the guy, he was crying, really. And he just said, you know, he goes, it felt so good to hear God's word because I've backslidden so bad. I said, well, tell me about your, he goes, I don't know. He was sorrowful because he goes, I said, what's going on? He goes, you know what? He goes, I used to go to Bible Moody College. And I said, really? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, I was involved with the Lord. He goes, I went to college and I did these ministries and stuff like that. He goes, well, Steve, because I just fell back. Drugs and alcohol. And you could see it. And the Holy Spirit was moving him. I said, look at it, man. I said, look at it. We've all fallen. I said, don't be discouraged. He goes, thank you. I just said, get back on the horse. I said, because God is a God of patience and forgiveness. I said, I've done that too. I said, but he gives you time. He just doesn't give up on anybody. I like it this way. He gives you one chance, two chance, three chance, four chance, five chance, six chance, seven chance, eight chance. He will stick with you until you get it. He just doesn't say, I'll forget you. He ain't no good. But the guy's name is Peter. If we could pray for Peter down there. But you don't know where somebody's, where they've been or what they're, because the Lord, when he says it, looks upon the heart and not the outward appearance. Because you can look at somebody that they're just washed up or they're drug addicts or whatever. You really can't look at them that way. But I learned, you know, a big lesson that day. And we said a prayer, because my prayer is to have encourage them to maybe get out of that homelessness, maybe get work going, Lord willing, and get on the feet. But I always encourage them in the Word, and try to get to a church, try to get into the Word of God every day, pray, get around believers, and it makes a difference in your life, no doubt about that. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his followers what purpose is. He was here on earth. He said, you are what? The salt of the earth. What did he mean by that? In Jesus' day, and his purpose is what it does, another illustration, it enhances your thirst. You know, if you think about it, it enhances your thirst. One example, salt was given, like I said, to animals. Did you know that? It was given to animals. So they could take in the proper amount of water. Isn't that amazing? But this is funny. He says, But you've all heard that saying is you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. This is true, but you can salt the oats. I like that one. That creates thirst. I remember when my mom, you know, sometimes people get crazy. They think salt's bad for you and stuff like that. And Dan turned me on to salt a lot because when we go to the Mexican restaurants, he likes to double salt the chips. And I got to tell you, I couldn't see it any other way without doing that. So that's the first time I started doing it. But when I was taking care of my mom, what the Lord has had me to do with my mother, she loves salt. And I'm thinking, and they say salt's bad for you. And it's like I'd see her take that shaker like that. And just start dumping the salt on there. And I grab the salt from her and pull it back. I said, look, you're not supposed to have that much salt. You know, the doctors scare you and they say that it's not good for you and this and that. I mean, maybe so. Who knows? I mean, you're living. So after a while, I started to get hooked on this salt. I mean, I always like was scared to do it. And I'm thinking, I remember she used to dump it. I said, give me that salt. Like, you're not supposed to be doing that. And I'm sitting there dumping it on my plate because I wanted salt, because what it did. And it was just amazing. But when Jesus talks about this, it's really, really cool. It says, that's why Jesus says in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and what? Thirst for what? Righteousness. And we live in a world where people are not thirsty for righteousness. They have no desire for relationship with God. And that's why one of the reasons God left us here on earth is to create a thirst for righteousness. And how do you do this? Like I said before, how you talk to people, or you create spiritual thirst. Also pray. You stir up, you know, the gifts that God gives you. And people see you pray. You know, let's say they see you pray at a restaurant over the food. I mean, you're not doing it to be seen and heard like the Pharisees. They see you do that, and they go, wow, he's praying to God. We've all saw that. Hey, that's a fellow believer. Hey, that's a Christian. Hey, that's they're spiritual. And that's just a good thing. You know, and so we are to be disciples of Jesus who influence the world for good, the light of the world. We as believers have his light in a dark world. We were just talking about that today. You know, Arul gave a great psalm out today too. The world will see the light of the kingdom through the good works done by Jesus' disciples. For what reason? What reason? And believers, with the result that the Father who is in heaven will be what? Glorified. Absolutely. We do good works, has nothing to do with our salvation. Absolutely. But when people see your good works, we're glorifying our Father in heaven. And people that are worried or doubtful or depressed, or they don't want to do that, you know, the Lord says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And we meditate on God's word. Because, you know, we try to encourage people that it is, religion does not save you. You could be the most religious person you've ever wanted to be. It's not religion that saves you, it's Jesus alone that saves you. Meditate on the word of God and cast all your cares upon Jesus. I like, you know, an accompanying Bible verse before, going to close pretty soon. I like that is, there's actually two of them, but I'm going to read chapter 14. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah. Well, he says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, what does he tell you right here? Exactly. See, that's what separates the believer from the unbeliever right there. See, most people don't believe that. But Jesus is always reassuring. He says, if it weren't so, I'd tell you. He says, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Because I like what Thomas says here. He goes, Lord, but we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's just comforting words, very reassuring words. Another one is, come unto me, all that are
laboring
and heavy laden.
Now do you rest?
Yes, yes. And what does he say? He says he'll give what?
Rest.
To your
souls.
Yeah. He'll give you rest to your souls. Hey, I tell you what. You know, we're learning in the Bible study. We're learning in the Bible study. We are in the world. Finish it up, David. But
no.
not of the world. I agree. Every day, I think that way every day. It's almost like, yeah, I don't want to be here no more. Why? Well, there's no excitement. You want to be with Jesus, is what you want to do. You got to deal with the world. You got to deal with working and finding work and paying your bills and doing this and doing that and dealing with people and dealing with unbelievers and dealing with this and dealing with that. And the world and the system of the world. That's why Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. So that's why, if we think about it, let our purpose at least glorify Him while we're down here. Right? Do something for the Lord. Get something out of it for the Lord. Store your treasures in heaven, not here on earth, where everything rots away anyway and burns up. And we motivate each other as believers. I'm almost done. By the way, we're cutting 5 minutes early, so you should be thankful. Or 4 minutes. But I'm just saying, we should be thankful for one another, and we do love one another. Jasmine, it's good to see you tonight, and we love you here at the church. You know, and I'm glad you're working, and I'm glad you're doing better. We miss you on Wednesday, but Lord willing, maybe down the road you can get back with the kids. Hope your kids are doing good. You know, but God is good. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the blessings you give us over here, Lord. We thank you for one another, Lord. We really do. I mean, and we thank you, in a dark world we have Jesus. We have His light. And let us be salt, Lord, to others, to win people to Christ. Be soul winners, Lord. We could always do better doing that. Let our walk reflect that. So, Lord, please take us home in safety now. We thank you for another day here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to number 672. First and last verse.